Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In this week's episode, we talk about basketball hires and Zaire Smith in the draft, baseball finishing up their road trip and Tim Tadlock getting ejected, football scrimmages, and the STP 23 Personnel Podcast Meetup. The 23 Personnel Podcast starts right now. You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined as always by Michael.
Hello, everybody.
Always with the same intro. But, you know, to be fair, I probably say the same thing every week, too, so...
Yeah, but you're the host. You kind of have to abide by some rules. I guess I could change it up. Sometimes I change the inflection.
Yeah, I try to be more interesting, and that's why like the very beginning intro, we're like, on this week's episode.
not that I
get all like deep radio voice guy on you, just normally because I'm recording that an hour or two after we're done recording the podcast, and it's really late and I'm really tired, so my voice gets really deep.
I like that you said you try to be more interesting, like full stop. That was how you worded that, and I thought, yeah, me too. I don't know how well I'm doing it, but I do try to be more interesting.
I don't know if it even helps.
Yeah, at least we try, though. It's on the record
that
we try.
I do know that that bringing in Hunter Cook last week helped. We had one of our better weeks download, so thanks everybody for listening. Thanks Hunter for joining us. I have to get him back on here pretty soon.
Yeah, and maybe we'll go over 2 hours next time.
I don't know, man. We got ridden pretty hard on that one. Whoa, that's what she said.
Oh man,
yikes,
only a minute in.
Almost 2 minutes. Well, it took us a second to start, I guess. Is that another one?
It could be.
All right, so obviously we're going to be talking about football and baseball. We've got a couple notes on basketball to kind of wrap up. I feel like we say like we're going to wrap up the basketball season every week, but there's more news that came out. There's an assistant coach that got hired away to take on a head coaching position at another school. We got a big grad transfer, big in multiple ways. Talented guy, also nearly 7 feet tall. Women's head coach was hired, and then a former player just got named head coach of a regional JC. Like I said, we're going to be talking about football with the Frisco scrimmage from last week, the upcoming scrimmage in Lubbock this weekend. We're talking about where we're all going to meet up so we can have a STP 23 personnel party.
Woohoo!
And then obviously talking about baseball since that season is going on. They're actually playing right now. I've got the game up on the iPad just out of sight of Michael. He can't see it.
Oh, man. I've got the little score tracker on, so I'm kind of...
I've actually got the game. You remember last time we did this, I was like super distracted.
Yeah, and I think you were watching... There was one time you were watching a basketball game, too.
Yeah, that was probably a couple months ago now, where it wasn't just like, we have to wait till the game's over and... I think it was like a blowout game that we were losing. I think like Oklahoma State. That was a blowout game, but...
Yeah. Anyways, remember which one it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael put up the call for questions, and we had probably our best week of questions yet. I'm still going to probably give Brian the credit for this, because one, he did submit another question. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
But he also retweeted us and said, guys... You need to ask more questions and not just let me do all this. So we got several questions to get to. If we actually get through all that under our allotted time, we'll probably even talk about what we learned this week, which we've mentioned talking about for 3 or 4 weeks now and haven't gotten to it. So
just too much content. It's just content
so,
overload.
So much content. We're just giving you all the free stuff. So this week, Michael actually, I should say this week, today, purchased and set up an Xbox One. Rejoining the gaming console owner population. What inspired you? What got you going to get an Xbox?
Well, I've been on the fence for a while, and then my latest console was an Xbox 360 that I purchased as of this spring over 10 years ago. So that was what I was running previous to this, and it's kind of just been sitting by itself because we moved into a new place a year and a half ago, and to get the Xbox on the internet, I'd need to get a wireless adapter, and I thought, you know what, that's too much money. I don't need it on the internet. And so, of course, I never played it because it was never on the internet. So, but Far Cry 5 is what got me coming back to the consoles. It's just an insane looking game. I don't know hardly anything about it because I haven't read anything about it. I know one guy, a coworker of mine, or former coworker of mine, we still stay in touch, and he's told me just these crazy things that happen in this game. And I know that at some point, I think you're fighting a bear, and or the bear is on your side, and you're on motorcycles, you're in airplanes, you're in helicopters, you're doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and it has something to do with the cult in Montana. So that's about all I know. That's all I need to know. And that's what got me back on board, along with Red Dead Redemption 2. I loved that game on the 360, which is, it's 8 years old now. It'll be 8 years old in May, which I can't believe that. But I love the first one. And so this second one coming out in October looks pretty incredible. So I am officially back into the current generation of Xbox people. And it's good to be back, y'all. I know y'all miss me.
So the last time I owned an Xbox was in the height of the Halo craze. And I was a junior in high school. It was a sophomore in high school going into junior, because I remember we moved that summer. I remember staying home, going back and forth between playing an online match and then like packing a box, and going back and playing an online match then packing a box that summer before we moved. And then
was that like a reward scenario where you're like,
yeah,
oh,
well,
I packed
like,
a box?
Because well, my parents would leave us, me and my brother, things that we were expected to get done during the day while they were gone. And to help expedite the moving process, they asked us to help pack. So we...
which is a reasonable thing
to
ask.
Done. Yeah, I know. And we still felt like we had to incentivize ourselves and, you know, play a game and then pack a box. And anyway, so that was... I said sophomore going to junior. I graduated 2007, so 2005 was the last time I was really active on Xbox.
That's a while.
We've been more of a PlayStation owner, player. And really, I didn't play a lot of PlayStation games.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
games except for Madden and NCAA football. The past couple of years, one, you know, being married and having a little boy, haven't had a lot of time to play.
Yeah,
and then when they announced that they weren't like renewing the NCAA series, I really slowly lost interest. Yeah, but I just stopped playing it as much because it's the same game. I've been playing it for, what was the last one, 2014?
That seems right. I don't even know. It may have been 13.
Which is always, that year is always a year ahead of the year it was released. So if it was 2014, it was released in 2013. Either way, I've been playing that one disc for 3, 4, 5 years, and nothing's new.
Well,
I won the national championship with basically every team.
I was never any good at football games. I don't know X's and O's very well, as probably y'all listening to the podcast already have figured out. So I've never been good at the football games. The only football game I bought was the one with Crabtree on the cover, and I think that was 2010.
And that was like the Xbox version of it. It wasn't PlayStation.
I bought the Xbox
version. I was mad about that.
And I played it, I don't know, I probably played it a total of 10 hours or something, but that was why I bought it, was because Crabtree was on the cover. That was all I really cared about.
Yeah.
But most all my friends, they're huge into Madden, and they were huge into NCAA too, and they do the franchise mode on Madden, and I mean they're big into it. And I never was very good at all. They'd play me and they'd make up all sorts of rules to handicap themselves, and I still would just be awful.
Yeah, so I only recently started playing Madden again because NCAA was kind of going out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this it's not even the same game. I don't really know what I'm doing. Like the outside activities from the actual games was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, drafting and practicing. I was like, what is this?
Practice.
I know.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've got to update it. I'll probably be up pretty late tonight trying to get it all updated and set up and everything on the new Xbox One. So probably that means they'll come out with whatever the next thing is in the next 8 to 10 months.
And it won't be backwards compatible, so you can't play your Xbox One games on it.
No. Yeah, even the 360 games I have, there's a list of backwards compatible games, but it's not all of them. So yeah, what can you do? You know, you just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what they say.
All right, let's get into basketball news, because as we mentioned it last week on the podcast that Chris Ogden was basically all but out the door, headed to UTA to become their head coach. That was made official later on in the week. Chris Ogden's been with the program as long as Chris Beard has been here as the head coach. Been credited for some of the bigger recruiting wins. I think, you know, namely Zaire Smith was credited to Chris Ogden. Kayvon Moore. I think he was helpful in getting Tariq Owens, even though he committed, you know, without Ogden being here. Which is another thing we can talk about, is Tariq Owens, the grad transfer from St. John's, committing to transfer to Texas Tech, which I always thought was a weird thing. Like a transfer who commits to transfer to you.
Why not make it more complicated?
Just go ahead and just sign or something. I don't know. It just seems like a really...
Maybe he can't officially sign until he's graduated, till he has his diploma. I don't know the specifics. That seems logical. But I did probably 9 or 10 minutes of research on Tariq Owens last night.
That's a very solid amount of research.
Yeah, so...
You know how many minutes I did?
What do you got?
I got 60 seconds.
That's pretty good. You probably got more away from it than I did, because I've never been that great at gleaning information. But I did, let's see, Seth posted the post about Tariq Owens on Steak in the Plains, and he included a video in there. And I watched the video, which was a lot of the research. What was great...
That was like the extent of my research, was watching about a minute of that video.
So. Well, what I gleaned from the video that I really liked was... his coach, Chris Mullins, talking about him and saying that, quote, he is the highest IQ player on the team, which is a good sign. And then he also said that he is the MVP on defense, which is going to fit in great here in Lubbock.
You would expect a 6'11 guy to be defensively minded, Tommy.
Oh,
Hamilton.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah, you would. You would expect that. But this guy actually is. And he, you know, his averages are good. He averaged 30 minutes a game, 8.4 points, 5.9 rebounds, 2.8 blocks. Which 2.8 blocks sounded like a lot to me, and I looked it up, and sure enough, that's number 11 in all of NCAA.
Yeah, that's okay. That's three a game.
Yeah. Mo Bamba was number two with 3.7, and so Tariq Owens,
he averaged one more block a game than Owen.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Than Owens. Might have to go back and edit that out. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll probably just leave that in there, like, oh my gosh, he's talking about editing something out, left it in.
That's always the fun part. But, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about him on defense, especially with Zach Smith going. And, you know, Odiase, as great as he is at just kind of straight-up post defense, he doesn't seem to be as capable as stopping guys when they're driving in. Or he's a little more likely to draw a foul or you know, not quite move his body out of the way and just get the ball. So I'm really excited to see Tariq Owens. I fully expect he'll start. Or do you think, I mean, that's another question. Do you think he'll start as the four and then Odiase would be the five? Or,
well,
or
so
what would they do there?
I did hear there was some smoke surrounding whether or not Odiase may be back.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'd heard that there was a possibility that he would transfer. That there was some kind of issue with him fitting with the scheme and the offense. I don't know. That may have been just one person saying that. Just know that that was a thing that I heard. That Odiase may not be with this team next year.
Wow.
But I do think, like, even if Odiase is on the team, I think this is a spot where Owens could come in and start either the four or five. I would expect more. Shoot, I don't know. He'd be on the floor because just the defensive ability of a 6'11" guy that goes up and blocks three shots a game. 30 minutes on the floor. You said it was 8 points. He scores 8 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's probably, I mean, it's more than what Odiase was averaging. So
I didn't look up Zach Smith's numbers because I know they're not going to be, this year's numbers won't be very helpful, I don't think, just because of the injury and recovery from it. But it sounds awfully similar to Zach Smith's numbers. You know, he was good for about that every game. Maybe not three blocks, but so, maybe not 8 points either. You know, I'm saying Tariq Owens, just statistically looking. Of course, you know, people can compare Big East to Big 12 or whatever, but I think it's going to be a pretty good transition. I don't think you just go out and say, oh yeah, this guy's the next Zach Smith, or he's going to replace him. We won't miss a beat at that position. No one can replace Zach Smith. That's not at all what I'm saying. You can't have a guy that's his height with that vertical leap and just that kind of. He had a great shot from the baseline, but he didn't really use it much this year. I had a couple other stats I wanted to share with you in case you didn't know. Did you know that St. John's, even though they only won 16 games this year, beat Villanova? Villanova. And they were Villanova's only home loss of the year. And at the time they beat them, Villanova was 22-1, and they were ranked number one in the country. And they got upset at home by St. John's. And this was like a week or two after St. John's had beat Duke. So, you know, getting a guy who averaged 30 minutes on a team that just beat Villanova and Duke in the same season, Okay, yeah, they won. Only won 14 other games, but that's something to brag about. And sure, they only won 4 Big East games, and those were 2 of them. That's still
okay, but Duke and Villanova.
Duke and Villanova. I mean, we can't emphasize that enough.
Duke's not is not in the Big East, but
oh yeah, they're not. It was just right around the time they were in conference play. My bad. But yeah, Villanova had 4 losses on the year. One of them was to St. John's. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So for comparison, just back to Odiasse, he averaged just under 15 minutes a game. Which again, this I think goes more towards the depth of the Texas Tech team. But Odiasse averaged, like I said, just under 15 minutes, 0.4 blocks per game, and 3.8 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in half the minutes, he scores half as many points. So that would track about the same amount of points.
What about rebounds? Do you still have that pulled up?
4.5.
Okay. Because he was, that's really good considering he played half the time. Because Tariq Owens averages like 6 rebounds, but he played 30 minutes a game. So that was one thing that I really enjoyed about Odiasse was his ability. Man, if he wanted to block you out, he was going to, and he was going to get that rebound a lot of the time. If he goes, that's something we could definitely miss.
Yep. But that has yet to be announced. That's nothing that's been confirmed or anything.
No, it's a 23 personnel exclusive. Put it in the bank. Everyone start writing your think pieces. I'm sure there's a ton of guys who write sports columns that are listening right now. That's where they get their news.
If we were somebody's source, I would feel really, really bad for that.
According
person.
To the 23 personnel podcast.
But speaking of things that were named that were made official, the new women's coach at Texas Tech has been hired. She's been officially welcomed into the Red Raider and Lady Raider family. Marlene Stallings from Minnesota was hired this week after a thorough coaching search by Kirby Hocutt. Looking at the length of the search, you would think that Texas Tech maybe had to have settled with a lower division coach or an up-and-coming assistant, but from everything that we've been able to find out, and Michael can speak to this, she's had success basically everywhere she's been, and she's doing it at the D1 level as a head coach. So you're not, like, settling for, you know, some mid-major assistant here.
Yeah, and that could have been why this was such a lengthy process. She may have really needed some convincing and some coaxing. At Minnesota, she was there for 4 years and had a record of 82-47, including a 24-9 record this year. So that's...
Is that good?
That's pretty salty. That's a pretty good basketball team.
How many games did the women win this year, the Texas Tech women?
7.
Oh.
Yeah. They lost more games than Tech won. And won more games than Tech lost. Wait, is that good? Yeah, I don't know.
It's not good for the current team that have only won single digits, which the men's team experienced that not too long ago. So.
Right. And we're talking, like you said, thorough search. I had to go back and make sure. Whitaker was fired on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that was.
So we're over 100 days in.
Yeah, 3 months ago. Now, I don't think they were looking. They were doing an active coaching search for 3+ months.
I agree. They weren't. They had Shimmy Gray
Miller,
right?
Was the interim coach.
But the I think this is a good direction for Tech to go based off of what Stallings has been able to do at Minnesota. I think she was at Virginia before that, and she had I think her last season there was a 20+ win season. So, you know, good luck, Coach Stallings, because you're coming into a Tech team who went 7-23 or 7-23 this year.
And looked awful doing it.
They were 1-17 in Big 12 play.
Again, something that the men have experienced not that long ago.
Right. And they lost. They finished the season losing 12 in a row. So
yeah, I mean, if you lose that many games, you're probably going to have a couple of those extended losing streaks, which is unfortunate. But
yeah,
best of luck to Coach Stallings.
Yes.
I haven't been a huge Texas Tech fan for long. From what I was hearing, that like the women's head coaching position at Texas Tech is actually something that could be considered a desirable position, because this is a team that's won a national championship. You've got fan support just kind of waiting for something to happen. You've got the facilities that are being upgraded as we speak to be as nice as anything in the country. So you would hope that a hire like this one, with a coach that has proven experience and winning at the D1 level, can help elevate that program. So
I agree.
The luck in the world to Coach Stallings or Stallings. You know how we mispronounce everybody's name here. But speaking of a name that we can't mispronounce, because it's really simple, it's Luke Adams. You might remember him. He was a Texas Tech basketball player under Tubby Smith. He's son of current assistant coach Mark Adams, and who I believe he was a coach over at South Plains for a while Luke Adams was playing for Tech. Anyways, Luke Adams, at the ripe age of 25, has been named the head coach of New Mexico Junior College.
Way to go.
Which is in it's a Region 5 of the NJCAA. And I know this because of my experience working with Visit Lubbock, because Lubbock would host the NJCAA regional tournament. And that's got other teams, like, so you got South Plains, you've got Ranger College, you've got Midland,
Howard College, maybe?
Howard. There's that one in Waco, McLennan. So you've got a fairly good conference of teams there. And you've got New Mexico Junior College is not, some kind of second-rate JC basketball program. They've been really good recently. They've found some success. So it's really a testament to what they're all seeing from Luke. So former Red Raider player named a head coach at a JC at 25 years old. Again, younger than I am, having much more success than I am.
I remember at 25, that was right around the time I bought that Xbox 360. So that was really, probably a high point at that age for me.
Let's see, what a high point for me at 25 was, that was the year that my son was born.
Oh, there you go.
So that's what I was doing.
There you go.
How to be a dad.
Man, have you got it figured out yet?
No.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping you'd help me out a little bit. I'm way behind the curve there.
So, sorry to interrupt. I'm watching the baseball game. Looks like Tadlock just got ejected.
Oh.
He was yelling at the home plate umpire, who's had an awful strike zone all night. Red Raiders are struggling on the mound. Just walked in a run that will put Dallas Baptist in the lead, 6-5. I think
in the top of the ninth.
Bottom of the eighth.
Oh, it just ended. It just ended then.
No.
Grounded into double play.
Oh, then you're ahead of me then. Anyways, I'm sure that I don't have the audio on. I'm sure that umpire. The first pitch to the next batter was a double play. There it is. Like I said, he was struggling with the strike zone. when you get this many walks and you walk in a runner. So,
I need to work on my, I guess I need to work on my Tim Tadlock so mad he gets ejected impression, but I'm afraid I'd wake the baby. So I guess I'll work on that later.
Yeah. With baseball, let's just go right into baseball. We'll come back to football. We'll spend the rest of our time on football once we get through it.
Works for me.
So the baseball team is finishing up their 4-game road trip tonight in Dallas against Dallas Baptist. They had a conference series in Kansas with some questionable weather, questionable decision making from the Kansas brass, because as the home team, you have the final say if you're going to adjust the schedule. Everybody knew that there was going to be bad weather this weekend. Texas Tech got up there early, offered to move the games up to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, or move the Sunday game up to a doubleheader on Saturday. Kansas said no. So Tech won the first games 15-6 and 10-0. So a really great start. Win the series 25-6. Second game in the worst weather that you've probably played in all season. It was raining, it was sleeting, it was wet, cold. Kansas beats you. The game is called early, at, you know, through 6.5 innings. You lose 17-3. My thought is that, like, Kansas probably saw that they didn't have a really great shot against Tech for this series. Maybe have made the final decision Friday night when you beat them pretty badly to not change the series, the schedule, that you want to roll the dice and say, okay, we've seen Texas Tech struggle in cold, wet weather before. This may be our only shot to get a win. We're just going to play it as is. Ends up, I mean, it works out for them and they get a win, but I don't know. It's kind of shady that you would put a win out of three in front of, you know, health and safety of players when you're playing in such miserable conditions.
Yeah, the game was delayed on Sunday, and I was listening to the broadcast. And I didn't get to listen to all of it, but I listened to a good chunk of it. And towards the end, where, you know, Kansas was just, I think they had 6 runs in the 7th. And then, of course, they called the game right after that. That's convenient. But anyway, I remember hearing Jamie Lent talk about it in the sixth and seventh innings, that the conditions then were much worse than what they delayed the game for. And he was already copping to the idea of, like, yeah, it's pretty easy to see what they're doing here is they're just getting enough baseball in to where they can count this as a game, and then that way they can get a win. And that's kind of what it seemed like was happening. Even so, I mean, our guys, let's see, we had 6 pitchers pitch. And
in 6 innings.
Yeah. And none of them were very good. There were 12 walks and 3 hit by pitch. So 15 people just got on base just for showing up.
In 6 innings.
In 6 innings. Exactly. Keep throwing that in. And then we only had 3 strikeouts from our pitching staff. But there were 11 hits. So, you know, you look at a score of 17 and then you see that there are only 11 hits. You kind of think something's a little lopsided
you,
there.
You gave them a lot of free base runners is what you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, they had a lot of room to run up that score, and of course our bats disappeared. Michael Davis, you don't want to call him out, but he's definitely in a slump. You were talking about it before we hit record, and they mentioned it on the broadcast that he actually cut his hair after the Sunday game or the Saturday game, thinking that that would help. But I think he was 0-for-12 or 0-for-13 for the weekend, and he's 0-for-4 tonight.
So, yeah, so he's at least 0-for-17 through these past 4 games. That streak may extend back to the previous weekend or the midweek game. I don't think there was a midweek game, but definitely not doing so hot at the plate.
Right, and I'm hoping that changes, because, hey, it's a streaky game. There's all sorts of superstitions and things you can get in your head. So, like you said, Spencer, he started out on fire. It's not fair to think that he's going to maintain that for an entire season. So
yeah, because he'll even bounce considering, back. Yeah, considering where you know he's 0-4-17 or whatever, his current average is still higher than any other year that he's been at Tech, which means it started off really, really high.
Yeah,
to still be above his career average with this 0-for-nearly-20 stretch right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good padding there.
So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, that they're playing against Dallas Baptist in Dallas right now. Doesn't look too hot with two outs. For me on the video, you're probably ahead. Two outs in the ninth. Looks like Cody Masters may be about to be ejected, even though he just struck out. You're down by one run. Now, this is another... Oh, that's a BS if they call that he went around. I'm sorry. I just watched the replay. That ball didn't even come close to touching the plate, and they said he swung.
Oh, come on.
Anyways. Home series this weekend. You come back. You're playing Kansas State. Saw yesterday or day before that the Saturday game has been sold out. Actually, we have tickets to go to that game. Before the scrimmage, that's a early afternoon game to get it in before the football scrimmage, which is at 6. Excited to go to that one, see how they bounce back against another lower tier team in the Big 12 this season. Kansas State's been struggling pretty hard. A good opportunity to get a game in front of a lot of fans. You get some people coming in town for the scrimmage, obviously. So, like I said, I'm planning on going on Saturday. Looking forward to going and hoping that these just weird games go away. Like we've had so many weird games, it feels like we either get really like blown out or we lose by like a really small margin, but to teams that we you shouldn't. Like yeah. You lose like one run games when you're pitching with Davis Martin. You're like you lost 1-0 with Martin on the mound. You're like, dang, like you
was that against West Virginia? Yeah. Was that one? Yeah. Well, and Kansas State is, you know, they're ninth or not ninth. There's only 9 baseball teams in the Big 12. How about that for confusing? But they're 8th currently, and they're 2-7 in Big 12 play. 15-17 overall. So if there's a time to kind of get out of a funk and lay down a beatdown, this weekend is it, because you're back home. You've got hopefully some decent weather coming. Who knows this time of year? But Saturday is going to be a blast because they timed that perfectly. Tech knows exactly what they're doing. That's why it's sold out, because there's already going to be people there. Like, well, we're going to the scrimmage anyway. We might as well go to the baseball game. And I'd be one of those people too, but my one-year-old's not going to endure, you know, 7 hours of Tech sports.
Yeah, I'm definitely not taking my four-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, he will probably be going to the scrimmage, so we'll test that out and see how he does.
Cool.
In case we get some tickets for this upcoming season to see how he does. Yeah, when you're looking at the schedule, you know, you're these just weird, like, you started off 5-4 in Big 12 play, which is not super great. You're not really impressed with that. You've got other teams, like Oklahoma, that started off super hot that you're just like, okay, we need to play catch up now. Winning series is great. You're going to be working towards that. If Oklahoma stays on their streak, they're going to keep winning series as well, but at some point, you're going to need to be able to say, okay, we need to be sweeping some teams. Unfortunately, the teams that you had the best shots to sweep, you're kind of passing.
And we just lost to Dallas Baptist.
Yeah, I just saw that. It was a fly out. But it was a Josh Young fly out. It got all the way to the warning track, and there was somebody on base. So if that had gone over, we would have taken the lead. And Dallas Baptist is celebrating like they won the College World Series or something. Bunch of nobodies.
They're baseball school, man.
That's such a douchey thing to do. Okay, you won a one game against another ranked opponent, and then you celebrate like... I hate seeing my team get celebrated on like that. It's like, okay, first it was one game out of like a 60-game season.
This team just lost 17-3 on Sunday, so...
Also,
hold on a sec.
We had our head coach ejected because he was tired of seeing the home plate umpire screw the game as much as he was doing. Like, he single-handedly probably walked the five batters for Dallas Baptist. And now I'm just getting all heated and spewing out nonsense. No, he didn't walk the batters. But, anyways, you lose against Dallas Baptist. Not the end of the world. They're ranked 25th. It was a road game for you. You're still going to be... I mean, you moved up after the weekend series against Kansas, even though you got blown out one game. Losing a game like this to a ranked opponent on the road, it's not going to hurt you. Your RPI may drop a point. But like we said before, because you're in the top like two or three in RPI in the country, basically anything that's not a win is going to hurt you because there's nowhere to go up. There's nowhere for you to go. Except for down. Like, you're already at the top, so.
Yeah.
Any other baseball you want to talk about? I'm kind of, like, getting heated with this stupid Dallas Baptist game.
No, I'm good. We can move on over to football.
Yeah. In an effort to... So, we did a Twitter poll a week or two ago saying that we were going to try to stick to a certain time guideline. So, results came in. Everybody said, you should go for 40 minutes. We're at 40 minutes now, so screw you guys. We're going to try to keep it under an hour, so we're going to move on to football. Because not only do we have football to get to, we have a billion questions.
That's exactly how many.
Yeah, a billion. Exactly a billion. We'll be here a good 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, but we're going to try to do the best we can to get through both of these in 20 minutes.
Highlights from the Frisco scrimmage. You know, I didn't see a lot of video from the Frisco scrimmage. I wasn't there. It wasn't broadcast. What I've heard is a guy's name that keeps coming out is he came out a bunch for the scrimmage, and he came out like this past week is I just blanked on that receiver 86 Rigdon.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly, it came out that he's the fastest guy on like the fastest receiver on the team, and he's been kind of making a name for himself.
I saw him make a catch in the end zone, but. All I was able to really watch were the highlights, and you know the highlights are really limited. It's kind of hard to see who all was doing what. I'm not going to pretend to know to act like I have a bunch of input on this, since I like you, I wasn't there. And the one thing that stood out nice to me was Antoine
Dalton
Wesley.
Rigdon. There it is. Sorry, Dalton Rigdon.
Oh, you're good. No, I saw his catch too. He had a touchdown, and then they also highlighted a catch and run by Antoine Wesley, that really tall inside receiver, mm-hmm. and he looked really good and was faster than what I'd expected to see. And I think he broke a tackle, and then he made it downfield another 5 or 10 yards before he did get tackled. So even though he could stand to put on some weight, like we've talked about with some of these guys. He looked good. I liked the one bit of replay I got to see. I mean, he's 6'5", 200, and that's probably generous.
On the weight?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
But, I mean, hey, if the guy can catch, that's the main thing. Just even if he catches and gets tackled immediately, or just he's going to have...
As long as he's catching the ball, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess on the inside, he'll be covered by guys, but they won't. That'll be taller than sometimes your standard defensive back, but they're not going to be 6'5".
So they're not going to be very fast,
right? And I think he's got a chance to really make an impact. So I'll be keeping an eye on him on a Saturday. The other thing, and you might have caught it too if you watched the highlights, Spencer, was Coach Johns. Did you see this? there was about 30 seconds. Oh, you need to go back and watch it because you'll probably even pick up more conspiracy tinfoil hat stuff than I did.
I know where you're going with this. He said, I'm not going to be on the field with you. I was like,
Get where you can hear me because I won't be here on game days. So that's it. That confirms it. He is going to be up in the booth.
He's
going to
be in the booth, not calling plays.
He's not
going
to be calling plays. Yep. That is the exact confirmation. And I think that was, whoever put that video together knew how important that was because they devoted maybe 30 seconds of a 2.5 minute video to him telling the guys, you know, back and forth, like, hey, just make sure you're, you know, I will not be here. He said it like 3 times. Like, oh man. So that's what's coming up. That's what's going to be happening.
Which, like I think I've said
this
before.
No one's really super surprised, I guess.
I'll be okay with that if he's calling down, like, okay, the defensive lineman looks great to run the ball here.
Yeah.
And here's the play I would run.
Right. Or, you know, these guys, the linebackers haven't subbed out in 4 plays. You know, try this, do this.
And they're gasping for air.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Run a sweep on them.
Yeah, someone's been, you know, they're playing man, and Vasher's been beating his guy every play. So try this. Yeah, I don't know.
Which is what we heard. What Eric Morris was supposedly doing.
Yes, and so we'll see what kind of advantages that helps us. But that was actually probably my biggest takeaway from that video, was that completely confirms that what we thought with John's just kind of being there. Basically doing the same thing Morris did, but maybe having a little bit more input. I'm not sure.
You would hope so, since he was a legit D1 offensive player.
Full on OC.
Yeah. I don't get if that's the case where he's going to be up in the booth not calling plays, why he would step down from another place where he was calling plays into a situation like Texas Tech where he may only be here for a year.
Yeah.
Or 9 months or whatever it's going to be.
Unless that's who Hocutt has picked to replace Kingsbury.
It's getting a little deep on the conspiracy there for me.
I agree. That wouldn't happen.
No, he'd probably just fire everybody and go say, okay, we're going to go get Dave Aranda, please and thank you. Although, I don't know if Tech can afford him with how much LSU is paying him as a coordinator. It's ridiculous. I think he's making $2 or $3 million as the defensive coordinator at LSU.
It's like, gosh,
we may be able to pay him $3 million
to be a head coach, but yeah, I mean that's pinching some pennies. That's if we if Gibbs is gone, if we drop the DC quarterback or the DC salary down to like $300,000 or $400,000,
which you don't want to do, but
no, not at all. You know, $500,000 is kind of like starting point now for defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Which can go a long way in Lubbock, Texas, in case y'all didn't know. If you're making $500,000 in Lubbock, Texas, you're gonna
be
all right.
The other day, I was thinking about, like, if I didn't have some of my normal bill payments coming out, like student loans and a car payment, like, we're talking $500 or $600 a month. I was like, you know what I could do with that extra $500?
Oh, gosh.
And these guys are making like $2,000 or $3,000 a day.
Yeah.
Okay,
just for showing
that's
up.
An exaggeration, but
that's close enough.
Yeah, let's see. $500,000. Yeah, they make $1,400 a day at $500,000.
That's pretty good. You could take up smoking or something just to have something to spend it on.
You could pick up several bad habits.
Yeah. Gambling. Oh, that would probably be mine. It would just be all going to some random team in Nova Scotia that's got a chance this year. Don't even know what sport.
Yeah. Sorry, bringing it back to the Lubbock scrimmage. You said you were looking forward to seeing what did you say again? I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. I was looking forward to seeing Wesley a little bit more.
Okay.
Those inside guys.
I was going to lean kind of the same way, seeing what that wide receiver rotation is going to look like outside of TJ Vasher on one side. I think Quan Shorts is going to start opposite him on the other side. And then you've got Wesley on the inside, and then a bunch of guys like Daquan Bowman, JoJo Robinson, and then all those like regional guys from like Idaloo, Brant Schilling, Dalton Rigdon, all these 5'9", 170 white guys. Sorry, dude. Inside receiver types.
High motor.
Blue collar.
Athletic.
The gritty two stars.
Lunch pail.
Yeah, so like a Sterling Galvin, although I think he's probably not in that same boat, but Dalton Rigdon, Nate Shelton, Brant Schilling, those kind of guys. Like, I don't really know if they're going to be expected to play a role in the wide receiver rotation. But like I said, I'm interested to see what that's going to look like. Obviously, I want to see, you know, quarterbacks, although I think they're going to be rotating out fairly regularly, so there's not going to be any tipping of the hand there about who's going to be one or two. There was something interesting I heard that Rico Jeffers has been really making a name for himself on the defense as a, you know, linebacker. I think this is one of the guys that David Gibbs was one of his first linebacker guys. He's been really high on him. Apparently, he's been taking snaps away from Jordan Brooks in practice.
Whoa.
Like, he's, like, really pushing that. And I was like, dude, like, if
for whatever reason... If you're able to push Jordan Brooks, just even that, if that's all you're going to be able to do is just push him to be even better, then, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, you already feel really confident with Dakota Allen. With as good as he is, he may cover up some deficiency on that second linebacker position. But if you've got somebody... You know, Jordan Brooks and Rico Jeffers kind of rotating in there. Be a pretty salty linebacker group. And just think, if the opponent is going into a goal line package, you need three linebackers on the field at once.
Whoa.
All three of them, you're like, they're not going anywhere, man.
Good luck.
excuse me, I've just had this like frog in my throat all night.
So, do you want to talk about like where we were going to try to meet up?
Absolutely. So I'm going to be at the baseball game. Depending on pre-game festivities, maybe leaving the baseball game a little bit early to get over to the football facility to do some 23 personnel podcast / staking the planes, hangout, meetup type thing. Unless there's like some really great tailgating that you guys will have to tell us about, we're just planning on meeting in section 3, like row 25.
Ish.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have in the notes. 25-ish. I don't really care which row it is. Just more towards the top of that section, because you really get lower, and the lower section, you don't have a really good vantage. So if you guys want to come hang out with us, I know it'll be me, Michael... Probably LaBar as well. Seth may be making the trip out. Well, we'll see if we can get some of you guys as listeners, as readers, all together. So definitely, like, if you're going to the game, you want to hang out with us, we'll be in Section 3, towards the top of that section, row 25. And if you, like I said, if you guys are throwing a tailgate and you want us to stop by, we'd love to have some free food and beverage.
Oh, man. We would love to stop by your tailgate.
There's a question that I heard, that it got me thinking more than I thought it would when I first heard it. And it was that, are you more excited heading into this season than you were last season? Sorry, there's like a really long pause there. Were you more excited heading into 2017 or more excited heading into 2018?
Well, I think that was a good broadcasting move. You had people on the edge of their seats wondering what's the last half of this question.
It was like I pulled a play from Aaron Dickens there. There seems to be a question or two every show where he asks, do you want this? Or do you want that? You're like, dude, was the 5 seconds necessary? No, it was an exaggeration. But What I think is difficult to consider in this question, because looking back, you were excited about different things going into the season than you were at the end of the season. You go into the season thinking your defense just has to be better. You just need it to be better. You were excited about the offense. At the end of the season, you were really excited about what the strides your defense was able to make, and you're just like, oh, man, that offense was kind of – wasn't what I was expecting it to be. This season, you know, okay, well, the defense, you're expecting it to even take a step on – a step better from last season. Offense, again, you're like, I don't know.
So, yes, I'm definitely I was more excited about last about 2017 because I kind of thought, you know, Šimonek was less concerned with him being a fifth year senior, having been in a different program and you know, seen him play a couple of times. I wasn't as concerned as starting someone who's never started before. So I think that was my main thing heading into last season was, you know, we've got to replace Mahomes. How is this going to work? And then we still had a good receiver core. Cantrell was there, had Batson, you know, had some good guys.
You felt like you could count on Derek Willis.
Yeah, and you thought, you know, okay, but even then I still thought we were going to win five games maybe. So I was wrong on that, but still, I felt more certain or more comfortable going into 2017 than this year. Even with the defense improving, I'm not going to say that they haven't, but we saw last year what can happen if anything happens to Hatfield, and even if Hatfield's healthy, he kind of struggled there towards the end. So of course he may not have been completely healthy, and then we've got the wild card of, you know, a bunch of new inside receivers, new quarterback. No matter how you look at it, he's going to be a new quarterback. So I don't know. I was more excited heading into 2017 than 2018, and 2018 just also has that added weight of just Kingsbury, like,
the expectations
health watch.
Of yeah.
I'm worried about him. I don't want him to wither away and just become someone who sleeps at the office, and he's doing everything he can to try to save his job. So I mean, that it's just all that on top of the uncertainty has me less excited this year.
So the more I think about this, I'm going back to my preseason expectations of 2017, and I was firmly in the camp of this team is going to win 3, maybe 4 games.
Yep.
So obviously not very excited about that. Do I think this team could win more games than 3 or 4? Yes. Do they win more than 6? I don't know. Because of all the questions on offense. Just like last year, I think, but like inverse from offense, defense, I'm much more confident in the defense carrying forward into 2018, like I was the offense going into 2017. There's so many questions that I have no idea how to answer for the offense. Like, who's calling plays? What is Kevin Johns doing? Why are we paying him so much money to do nothing?
Right.
Who's going to be taking snaps? Who's he throwing to? Is, you know, the running backs, are they going to be able to step up and take on that leadership role of, I'm the starter and this is going to be my game? Trey King, I'm looking at you. Desmond Nisby, are you going to be able to hold onto the ball around the goal line? Because dude fumbled like 30 times, and every time it was within the 1 yard line.
Like, that was, yeah, pretty crucial.
And then we
shanked a field goal.
I don't get it. Like, he had no ball security issues until he got around the goal line, and he would just lose it. Anyways, there are just so many questions on offense. I think there's an opportunity for the team to look much different than it did last year based on all those questions on offense that I think could be exciting. There's a lot of thinks there. I think this, therefore I think that. So I would say I'm probably more excited heading into 2018 with the prospect of seeing change on the offense and defensive improvement than I was in 2017, I don't think I can convince myself just yet, without having seen the team play, whether or not that improvement, this excitement, translates into more wins, or at least enough wins for Kingsbury to save his job.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. I'm not ready to predict wins or anything yet this year.
No, absolutely not yet.
No. I mean, it's April. So I'm
looking forward
excited
to the scrimmage. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah.
Seeing the team in person. Excuse me. Not looking forward to the season just yet. So
maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of getting there, there's some news that came out today that Texas Tech scheduled a home-and-home with Mississippi State starting in 2028.
Hey.
Mark your calendars. 10 years, we're going to play a home game against... No, sorry. We're going to start a series with Mississippi State. And the reaction I saw on Twitter was just... That's going to be one of the loudest, most obnoxious games or series, because Mississippi State had those their noisemaker. I don't know what to call them. They're like jugs, like nuts and bolts or whatever they have in their shake and making lots of noise. No, sorry. They have the bells, don't they?
Yeah, they have the cowbells.
And then the saddle tramps also have the bells. So lots of bell ringing in that series.
And then we ring our bell. Do we take the bell on road trips? I don't know. Maybe we don't.
I don't think we do.
But we ring it in Lubbock for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, mark your calendar. 10 years from now, we'll be getting ready to talk about that road trip going out to Starkville, Mississippi, take on Mississippi State. Maybe Dan Mullins will still be there. We'll see.
Yeah.
10 years. If he's still there.
Bold proclamation.
Like, if he's still there, you got to think, okay, Mississippi State found success somehow.
Yeah, I like that. We're going to put this in a time capsule. Spencer called it.
No, I didn't call. I just said maybe he'll be there.
Ah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
And with that, we will wrap up this week of the 23 Personnel Podcast. Be sure to tune in a little bit later this week to hear the special edition mailbag question and answer section. We had so many, we just couldn't get to them this week in this episode. Without going into our longest episode ever... For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for tuning in.